Amen. It is so good once again to be able to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth. Yeah. Again, it has been a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. Like every Lord's Day is wonderful. Yeah. But on this morning, as I stated earlier, to come to Bible study and to have three individuals, Tim, Chris, and Chris, to want to obey the gospel on this morning, and that opportunity was given to them to come and to make the confession that they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they made that confession. And upon that confession, they were baptized and added unto the body of Christ on this morning. So we're truly thankful for them. The angels in heaven are rejoicing, and we are rejoicing, and will continue to rejoice, not only for them obeying, but for every soul that obeys the gospel. Going back a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks, Brother David obeying the gospel. And we are just so thankful for those individuals. We know that we will not have some of them very long, but as long as we have them, we are going to enjoy you. And hopefully one day you approach Brother Thanopoulos and say, I'm ready to work. If we don't approach you first, because being baptized and coming and sitting on a pier is not going to do you any good. We want you to work. As you saw this morning, Brother Mike getting up and leading in hymns, we expect you not to necessarily get up and lead hymns. You may not want to sing, but there are some things that you can do, and we would be so delighted to have you do those things. On this morning, we're going to continue. We started in the book of Acts this morning, looking at the acts of conversion, and we're going to continue throughout this sermon to look at what Bible baptism is all about. Many people are confused, and the reason that they are confused is because of some man. It's not because of the Word of God. It's because of some ideal that some man has given to say what baptism is and what baptism does. They practice it wrong, and when I mean they practice it wrong, they say that you can pour, you can sprinkle. But the Bible tells us, as we find in Acts chapter 8, when they came up under a certain water. And Brother Pack, I like how he gives his invitation from time to time, where he talks about Philip and the eunuch riding through the desert. If it was just a pouring, they could have took the canteen, but I'm pretty sure they had a canteen there, and poured a little water on top of the eunuch's head, and he would have been baptized. But that's not the case when they came up on a certain water, which meant that there was much water, and the Bible teaches us that both of them went down into that water. Most the denominational world, they have a postponement of baptism. You come up and you say that you want to rededicate your life to the church, and they say, well, what we're going to do today is we're going to give you the right hand of fellowship. All in favor say aye, and people say aye, and no one opposed but the devil. Huh? Oh, thank you. I forgot. All right. That better? Okay. All right. Continuing on. Method, sprinkling, pouring, substituted. They're doing any and everything but what the Bible says. And when you do any and everything except what the Bible says, you're doing any and everything wrong. So we need to keep that in mind. The subject for baptism. Many times they'll say infants can be baptized. Infants cannot believe. Infants cannot confess. Infants cannot say of themselves, I am ready to be baptized, and when you pour that water on me, I'm ready to rejoice. Infants do not have that capability. They will even teach you that baptized believers is what they would say. What's a baptized believer? They'd say that it's a man that's already a Christian, now he needs to be baptized. That is not true. We already read the scripture reference from Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, alluding to verse 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. No saved man needs to be baptized. Only those that believe in God's word and know what God's word is talking about, those are the individuals that need to be baptized. So saved people, no, they do not need to be baptized. These think that they have obeyed but haven't. If an infant has been baptized and your mom, dad tell you when you get to a certain age, oh, don't worry about that. We took care of that when you was born. You say, no, mom, dad, I need to take care of that myself from what I read in the scriptures. a saved person. You say, well, I want to become a member or join the West End congregation. Do I need to be baptized again? If you are a Christian, the answer is absolutely not. But if you are a Christian and has been found to be in sin, you need to repent of that sin, and then, only then, can you join yourself to that local congregation. So saved people do not need to be baptized. What, why, who, when about baptism? That's what we're going to look at this morning. And I want us to get a good understanding that is going to come from the Word of God. We're going to look at one ideal that comes from man. And the reason it comes from man is because man has wrote some other book and said, you need this book in order to understand the book. No. The only book that we need to understand the Bible is the Bible. Amen. We don't need a Baptist manual, which is where we're going to take an insert from on this morning when we see some idea or some man. So what do we learn from the Bible? We learn from the Bible that baptism is an immersion in water. They both went down into the water and he baptized him. That's what the Bible tells us according to Acts chapter 8 when the eunuch was baptized. It's for the remission of sins. We learn this from who? We learn it from Peter. It's for the remission of sins or for the forgiveness of sin in Acts chapter 2. It's only proper subjects, the penitent believers. Those people in Samaria, when they believed, when they were ready to repent of their sins, they were those that were proper subjects to be baptized. And we find there in Acts chapter 8 again that those Samaritans, they were baptized. Simon the sorcerer was baptized. And then the eunuch was baptized in the desert. It's essential to salvation. Many people say you don't have to worry about it. All you got to do is make a prayer. Do a prayer. Everything is going to be okay. I told you on last Sunday that I was reading on a computer screen and I was on a certain site and they said, before you leave this site, accept Jesus Christ into your heart. If only it were that easy. You want me to tell you how many people would still disobey it? Millions. They'll still disobey it because they say, who are you, computer, to tell me what to do? But what we need to do is we need to get to the Word of God and see what thus said the Lord. It's essential to salvation. Therefore, it's urgent. You don't put off till tomorrow. You don't put off and say, well, I'm going to wait till I get all my family together because I want this to be a great ceremony. No. When you know that you are in sin and you know that you're outside of Christ, then when you understand who Jesus is and you're ready to make that confession, you need to make it immediately. It's urgent because our life is but a vapor. It appeared for a little time and then vanished away. We find several examples in the book of Acts to confirm these facts. And as we go through the book of Acts and we look at the many conversions that was there, we need to understand the same things need to happen today. Men need to arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. Men need to have them, and not only them, but their households to hear the Word of God being taught to them and be able to believe what is being taught and obey the gospel before it is too late. Baptism, only baptism, puts one into Christ. I don't care how many people say, well, you know, I pray to God on a daily basis. I know my life is all right. I don't have to be a member of the Lord's church. I say you're wrong. Why do I say you're wrong? I say you're wrong because the scriptures teach us the only way to get into Christ is to put Christ on through baptism. It's not by your prayers, it's not by your grandma's prayers, it's not by your mama's prayers. It's by being obedient to what God would have you to do. So why study baptism? Many people that are sitting here this morning are members of the Lord's church. Why do we continue to have sermons and why do we continue to teach and study a book of conversions and Acts? Why do this? We do it because there are many people that we're going to come in contact with that are not members of the Lord's church. And we need to set them down and tell them and show them in God's Word, allow them to read it for themselves, what the Bible expects them to do in order to be saved. It's important. We find in the book of John, chapter 3, starting with verse 3, baptism is important. If it wasn't important, it wouldn't be in this book. It would just be something, you know, oh, all of those are followers of Jesus. They woke up one morning, they saw him, and they began to follow him. No, it's not like that. You have to be obedient. Nicodemus, the Bible teaches us here in John chapter 3, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night. He didn't want anyone else to see him, so he came by night and he asked the question to Jesus as he was talking to him there. It says, Rabbi, in verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. No man. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Who is going to enter into the kingdom of God? That man that has been born of the water and of the Spirit. That man that has put Christ on through baptism. That man that has been walking in the Spirit. That man that has been living in the Spirit. That man that has been obedient unto God unto death. That is the man. So baptism is very, very important. It's not only part, nor the most important, but guess what? It is important. No matter how hard you try to live a life that is pleasing to God, if you have not been baptized, your life is still displeasing unto Him. The Bible teaches us in the book of James, chapter 2, the verses 10. James, chapter 2, the verses 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So we want to make sure that when we look at the Word of God and we want to do the things that are right, we don't do just part of the things. And we're not talking about going back and keeping the law, but we want to do all things. So the Bible tells us that an individual must be born again, must be baptized. And when you are baptized, you must live a life that is faithful unto God. Must be faithful. Because of the world's mistreatment of it. That's why baptism, teaching on baptism is important. And when we see people misteaching some words of God, it just gets next to us. And we try to get an understanding. Why are they teaching what they're teaching the way that they're teaching it? Just as Jesus dealt with people in his day, we have to deal with people in our day. And we have to teach them that baptism is necessary for salvation because of what the Bible says. In Matthew chapter 15, it talks about the things that defile. Many times as we look at this and we say, well, yeah, I see what they're saying, but yet I really don't really understand what they're saying. So let's read it. John, in Matthew chapter 15, starting with verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth fathers or mother, let him die the death. But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrine the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. You know, when we look at a statement made by Jesus that let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Should we not do the same today? When we hear people say certain things about baptism and people want to follow after them, there's going to be a certain time in our life where we say, we're just going to leave you alone. We're showing you in God's Word how important baptism is. Now, these men tried to trick Jesus, talking about what his disciples were doing, yet they were doing something even worse. He said, leave them alone. Remembering that many times people are going to do what their forefathers did, what their grandmothers, their grandpas, all of those people did. They're going to do those things because they think that those things are right. Never going back and searching the Scriptures to make sure. He said, this people again in verse 8, they draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We find many people like that today. Their heart is far from God because they do not understand the Word of God and they continue to mistreat it. We need to understand it. And the only way that we're going to understand it is that we pick it up and we open it and we have some type of plan in order to study it. This is what Paul tells Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So when we pick it up, we study it and we know what to apply and how to apply it because we know who is for and who is not for. Baptism is for everybody. Everybody that can understand God's Word and be able to accept God's Word, believe in God's Word, baptism is for them because Jesus came to save His people from their sins. God gave His Son for the sins of the entire world. So therefore, we need to pick up the Bible and we need to get an understanding out of it. If you pick it up and you don't understand what you're reading, now granted, Paul was talking to Timothy, a Christian, but there are some men that pick up the Bible and they try to get an understanding out of it because of what 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says. They need to go back and read chapter 8 of book of Acts and see what the eunuch said when he was reading and he didn't understand and someone asked him. And I love that story. I love how when Philip got there, he asked him one simple question that led to the eunuch being baptized. He said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I except some man guide me? See, we have many people today that need to be guided in the Word of God in order for them to understand why baptism is important. We need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. You know, we hate sometimes, don't tell me anything. Don't remind me. I know what I'm supposed to do. Well, the Word of God says sometimes we need to remind people. And if we need to find it in the Word of God, we need to continue to remind people. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up in your pure minds by way of remembrance. I want to stir some things up. I want to provoke you to some things. I want you to remember some things in which you're supposed to be doing, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Do we not need a reminder today about the things in which we have studied? You know, sometimes, you know, you saw me do it the other day. Simple verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I stepped away from the pulpit just for a moment, and I could not even remember that first verse. I needed a reminder, so I jumped back. Oh, but need a reminder sometimes. The simple things in life, we need a reminder of sometimes. I don't mind you telling me something I need to do. The brother was trying to remind me I needed to turn the light on. I had no idea what he was talking about at first. Brother Glenn had already reminded me. But you know, my mind is just thinking about this and thinking about that. And I got up here and he was pointing. I looked where I could see it. And then I saw the light. And y'all probably saw more light because of my head. But that's okay. I went over and I turned it off and everything is all right now. We need a reminder sometime. We need a reminder that baptism is important. It's an immersion in water. It's not a pouring nor a sprinkling. And I want you to take a look at this picture right here. You see that baby just hollering? That baby has no idea. They're trying to make that baby do something or do something to that baby that that baby is not happy about. When a person comes and says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that person is excited about that. That person is happy about that. And the only tears that should be shed are tears of joy, as Mike was doing when his boys was coming out the back. You shouldn't have to force anyone to be baptized. But we find that it requires much water. It's not a pouring nor a sprinkling. And this one really gets me. They have the right idea. Both of them went down into the water. But then you see this fella, he done dipped his hand into the water and he's pouring water on his head. That is just nonsense. Much water means that somebody is going under the water. It's a burial, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 4. It's a burial. And if it's a burial, you remember that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when they buried him in a borrowed tomb, they rolled that stone in front of that tomb. A burial. He was covered by the earth. And as we see that and we recognize that and we get an understanding out of that, it needs to be a burial in the watery grave. Verse 3 of Romans chapter 6. Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so you also, or so we also should walk in newness of life. He was buried. He was raised. We are buried. We are raised. He ascended into heaven, but we are still here on this earth to walk a newness of life. We have put Jesus on through the watery graves of baptism. And therefore, as we put him on through the watery graves of baptism, we find as an example of the Ethiopian eunuch, when they both went down into the water and he was baptized, he came out of that water rejoicing. We need to rejoice today. You sprinkle that water on that baby, and that baby is just going to still be hollering and crying because you don't put that cold water on, you don't put him in a state of shock. What are you going to do now? You're going to pacify that baby with a pacifier. But we have to know what God wants us to do and how God wants us to do it. We find again there in Acts chapter 8, we'll go ahead and read it in verse 38 and 39. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, but he went on his way rejoicing, excited about hearing the Word of God, excited about being able to obey the Word of God. And I like the fact how, you know, the Bible states when they came up on certain water, it shows that the eunuch brought his attention to the water. Well, here's water here. You know, Philip, you've been telling me about baptism, but we're getting ready to pass up this water. What's going to hinder me to be baptized? See, men that have this long, drawn-out way that a person is supposed to become a Christian. Oh, you have to go through at least 13 sessions with me before you can be baptized. What I read, the eunuch only went through one session with Philip. And that session was very important because he preached unto him Jesus. And as he preached unto him Jesus, he understood what he needed to do. So the message needs to be simple, so that men may know who Jesus Christ is. As he started there in the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, the eunuch wanted to know. He began to ask questions. Who is he talking about, himself or some other prophet? And Philip preached unto him Jesus. Preached unto him Jesus. Somewhere through that teaching, he had to tell him that Jesus had commanded for men to be baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Why do I say that? I say that because of the eunuch's attitude when they came up on water. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. The definition of baptism is immersion. You can go and look in any dictionary you want to. Immersion is going to be in that definition. And generally, it's going to be the first definition. And when it's the first definition, that's the definition you need to go to. And look at it and understand that it is water, baptism, that's important to salvation. It's for remission of sins. It has a purpose. It's not, you know, oh, I'm going to do it because it's the right thing to do. It has a purpose. It's for remission of sins. It's stated by Christ. It's to save you. He that is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth shall be saved. Slow down. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, let's read it again. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Well, could you pray for me? I want salvation. Could you pray for me? Here, I'll tell you what you do. You say this sinner's prayer and everything will be all right. No, Jesus didn't say that. Let me lay my hands on you and see how good your life is going to be. He didn't say that. He commanded his disciples in Matthew chapter 28 that you go, you teach, you baptize, and you continue to teach them. When you find those words, you need to put those words into practice. Peter, he repeated what Jesus said, but what did he tell them when they were pricked in their hearts there in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, repent, and that's all you need to do. That's not what Peter told them. He said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. So you know that you are living a life of sin. You know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know that He's the only way to the Father is through Him. You know that He has commanded that you need to be baptized. But yet you're saying, there has to be another way. The only way is God's way. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is to you, to your children, and to as many as is far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. You know who He's calling today? He's calling you that are not baptized. He's calling you that are not children of God. He's calling you that have not made that confession yet. He's calling you to make that confession on today. It was taught by Ananias to Saul in Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Remember Paul or Saul on his way to Damascus there in Acts chapter 9. And that bright light came from heaven. And it told him what he was supposed to do. You go on to Damascus. I know that, you know, Saul, that you don't want to go now that you've seen this bright light. But I want you to go on to Damascus. I don't want you to change your destination. But I want you to change the reason that you're going. I want you to go to a place, and when you get to that place, it's going to be told to you what you're supposed to do. And Ananias, he told Saul what he was supposed to do. Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, washing away your sins. You know, when we see Ananias telling Saul that, and Saul, you know, talking about his conversion there in Acts chapter 22 and his obedience to the gospel. There's many people today that think that, you know, I've committed too many sins in order for God to forgive me. He forgave Saul, who persecuted the church, who persecuted the Lord. He forgave him. He forgave many of us, and we can talk about the sins that we have committed and how God forgave us of those sins. And we don't have to worry about looking back anymore. But we're looking forward. That opportunity can be given to you today, and it was given to you today, to make up in your mind to do the things that are right. It's necessary for obedience. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we find in verse 21, it's a reason why we're to be obedient. Once, you know, we've had our sins, you know, washed away, our sins forgiven, we need to be obedient. We can't live a haphazardly life. Say, I'm going to do it this way today, and I'm going to do it another way tomorrow. I'm tired of following what God's Word says. I want to go ahead and I want to pick up this book that I got when I was a little child, and I want to start obeying it. No. Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. But here's the problem that we're going to have on the day of judgment. The problem that's going to be on the day of judgment is that many people are going to be there trying to beg and try to borrow and barter their way into heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, in thy name cast out demons, in thy name done many wonderful works? Think about what you're doing today. You that are Christians, think about what you're doing. Oh, you know, I've fed this many people. I've clothed this many people. I've housed this many people. I've done all those things. But yet there may be something you're not doing. And that something that you're not doing is going to keep you from getting into heaven. He says, and then when I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. You that work iniquity, depart from me. I don't know who you are. We never want that to happen to us, do we? You know, you see a man that you haven't seen in a long time. You walk up to him and you, hey, how you doing? You're trying to give him a hug or her a hug. And she stepped back or he stepped back and said, well, I don't know who you are. You want me to tell you why that happens to us here on this earth? Because we change. We get bigger, we get smaller, we grow hair, we lose hair, we change. But when it happens on the day of judgment, it happens because we have had some sin in our life that we did not get rid of. And that's not what God wants. God wants to get rid of those sins. The one that does the will of the Father which is in heaven is the one that's going to get in heaven. We need to understand that. And then we find the confusion comes into play. The standard manual for Baptist churches. You talk to a Baptist and they may say, well, we don't have that. You may not have it. But you go ask that man to call himself the pastor. He has it in his office somewhere, and he's been taught those things and may not even know he's been taught them. But he's been taught those things. And when you look at it, we talk about baptism. This is what he says here. Let's just start up a little bit there. And we're going to come down to the area that's highlighted. It is most likely that in the apostolic age, when there was but one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and no different denominations existed, the baptism of a convert by that very act constituted him a member of the church. Not the Baptist church, but the church. And at once endowed him with all the rights and privileges of a full membership. In that sense, baptism was the door into the church. And look what they say. Now it is different. What's different? This is not different. The book that's called the Bible is not different. The standard manual for Baptist churches is what's different. They wrote that book. And as they wrote that book, they put their ideals in it, took the what God wanted, the standard that God wanted, and they threw it out the window. You don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. Well, that says that Jesus is a liar, right? Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But they say, now it is different. Now it is different. Note 8. Baptism is not essential to salvation. For our churches utterly repudiate the dogma of baptism regeneration. Baptism of regeneration. The Baptists. Now, I was raised in the Baptist church. I didn't know this. I had no idea. Matter of fact, when I was baptized in the Baptist church, I really had no idea what I was doing. My sisters were doing it. That's a good idea. You know, you get to put on the little garments and you get to be baptized and everybody give you hugs and kisses and all this right here. And then they kick you to the wind. Don't teach you nothing. Didn't teach you nothing before you was baptized. Let's not teach you anything after you're baptized. Am I dogging the Baptist people? No, I'm not dogging the Baptist people. I'm telling you that the Baptists are wrong. Baptism is very essential to salvation. It is necessary. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. If it's not important, then that means 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 need to be taken out of the Bible. And we know that we cannot take it out of there because we didn't put it in there. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Now save us. But it's not important. That's man. That's not God. He says that baptism now saves us. And if it now saves us, if it saved them then, it's still going to save us now. The only proper subjects, again, are those that believe. You can't do something if you don't believe it. You have to believe that baptism saves. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to believe that there is a God. And you have to make this confession before people. It's the penitent believer. That man that says he's ready, he's been pricked in his heart, he's ready to turn from his evil ways, he's ready to obey the gospel, as Peter told them on the day of Pentecost. Those who are willing to confess Christ, as the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, verse 37. If you believe, you may. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that with all my heart. There's no shadow of doubt that Jesus is not the Son of God. You can say it however you want to say it. The important thing is you need to say it. Because that is what God requires. Those who obey from the heart in Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. You know, many times people sometimes just do things because others do them. As I told you, when I was little, I was baptized in the Baptist church because others had done it. I had to continue to study God's word to find out what I was supposed to do and how I was supposed to do it. And I'm glad that the Bible did not change. And I read it and I understand it and I obeyed from the heart. It says in Romans chapter 6, verse 17, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." You've received it now. You've heard it now. And you obeyed it. You used to live a life of sin, but you decided that that life was not for you any longer. Timothy, Christopher and Christopher, David, and others that we can name time and time and time again in many different names about individuals obeying the gospel because they did not want to live a life of sin any longer. But they wanted to be obedient unto what God had commanded and still commands today for people to do in order to be saved. It's urgent. It's a message that needs to be preached all the time. Not some of the time, but all the time. That is one of the reasons why at the end of every sermon we give the invitation for men, women to obey the gospel. If there's someone here that is not a child of God and is ready to become one, understand that baptism saves, and they get up and they come and they make that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they're ready to have their sins washed away. Because we have the water to do for. It's to get our minds right. It's to get our lives right to understand that now I can serve God with a pure conscience. I can serve Him because this is what's important for me to do. And I know that as I do this, I need to do it not just one day, but I need to do it every day because I never know when the Son of God is going to come back in the clouds of glory. And I want to be ready. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 33, they heard the gospel. They were told what they needed to do. And it says, Acts chapter 16, verse 33, "And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes." There they were in prison. And the Philippian jailer, he's hearing what the singing that they're doing. And he sees all these things happening. He sees the doors opening. Don't fret. Don't be worried. We're still here. Everything is okay. He heard the word of God. And it says, as he took them and washed their stripes, and immediately he and his household were baptized. Well, let's just wait until, you know, 5 or 6 days down the road when no one remembers what's happening. Then let's be baptized then. He said, no, let's do it tonight. Let's do it today. Let's do it, you know, on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. No matter what time it is, let's do it. I know sometimes we get into a tradition, we get into a routine and say, let's do it this way or let's do it that way. But I want you to know, whenever an individual is ready to obey the gospel, whenever that, you know, you feel like, hey, it's time for me to get my life together, we're ready to assist you. Amen. You know, I've told you in times past, you know, while I'm preaching and you're ready to obey the gospel, we're ready to take your confession. We've had that happen here. You know, I know that some, you know, looked at it like, man, what is really going on? We're saving souls. That's what's going on. God is at work. That's what's going on. Those that came in this morning to Bible study, you were on time, but we was already started. The God that we worship never, ever sleeps, nor does he slumber. So therefore, whenever an individual is ready to obey the gospel, we're ready to assist you. Maybe you're here and you're not a child of God. We're not going to put on any special presentation for you. We're not going to go in the back and bring out any chairs for you to sit in. All we're going to do is ask you to come forward and make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we're going to assist you in preparing you to be baptized. We have the water. All we need is the soul. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, you're not a Christian and you're ready to become one, that opportunity is yours. Maybe you are here and you are a Christian, but you have strayed away. And you're ready to come back to the fold. That opportunity is yours to come and to confess your faults one to another and ask the church to pray for you that you may be strengthened. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.